Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. Enjoy more of the things you love with TCL. Get in the know, nonstop Vikings talk. It's Purple Daily on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
Football.
Welcome into Purple Daily here, where we are going to dive into another edition of How to Fix the Vikings. Not how to fix them to get them back to like 9 wins, but like how to legitimately fix them to be Super Bowl contenders. But a quick shout out to our friends at Corona Hard Seltzer, keeping us hydrated and keeping us sane during a roller coaster Viking season.
Hey, talk about a Super Bowl contender. It's Corona Hard Seltzer. Forget the Green Bay Packers as number one seed. I'm talking about Corona Hard Seltzer as your number one seed. Some people even think it's Pat Mahomes, the Chiefs. No, it is Corona Hard Seltzer because it's the only hard seltzer made with pure beach vibes. With a refreshing splash of fruit flavors such as tropical lime, mango cherry, and blackberry lime, Corona Hard Seltzer is a tasty spiked sparkling water with a splash of natural fruit flavors that allow you to enjoy the moment. In each can, Corona Hard Seltzer has zero carbs, zero sugar, 90 calories, and is gluten-free. Relax responsibly. Corona Hard Seltzer, spiked sparkling water with natural flavors, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Football.
20 points, man. Yes, you gave us a chance at the end, but I got 3 words for you. You like that? Yeah!
So, I heard it all week long, right? 0-9 on Monday night.
Yeah!
You like how this tastes?
You like
this?
Yeah.
You like how this tastes. I'm always going to laugh
it's
at
gonna
that.
Always, it's going to always freak me out and gross me out.
Yeah, it haunts me.
I just, it's so icky.
You like that?
Like,
you
I can like take a lot, that but that one, I just, oh,
like
oh
that
no.
No, Mike,
no.
We do not.
Woof.
We do not need to know how that tastes. All right. Phil Mackey, Judd Zolgad, Declan Goff. This is Purple Daily. And we, every Tuesday and Thursday, and probably some other episodes too, we're going to devote every Tuesday and Thursday to subjects that center around how to fix the Vikings. Not how to fix the Vikings to get them from 7-9 back to like 9-7 and 10-6, and maybe they can finish second to the Packers, but like how we can fix the Vikings and get them into Super Bowl contention, which is ultimately the mission of this show. We'd like to see the Vikings win a Super Bowl before we all die. And so we're going to evaluate on today's show the three key figureheads of the team and essentially rank them based on who is good at their job: Rick Spielman, Mike Zimmer, and Kirk Cousins. And we will do that in just a moment. But I saw Declan pointed this out right before the show started today.
I want a mock!
Did you guys see a little Todd McShay action on ESPN.com today?
Yes, it's very exciting.
If you could fire up some appropriate music here, Declan. We have Todd McShay's predictions for all 32 first-round picks following the regular season finale.
When's Mel coming down the pike?
I don't know. Someone tweeted at us that Mel had released one, but the only one I see that's new is Todd McShay.
Mel. Todd.
I think Todd usually does go first. I think this is
Is that in Mel's contract?
I think it's usually...
I'll bat cleanup.
Godfather mock usually comes out maybe a few weeks after.
Are you surprised that they've kept both of those guys around in tandem for like 15 years?
Especially with the cuts that they've made in like 3 years? Yes, yeah. I am. Because I'm guessing that Todd, and Godfather mock are not cheap employees.
Yeah. And by the way, ordinarily, starting next week, we're going to have mock draft Mondays on Purple Daily, but that doesn't preclude us from, if Todd McShay drops one on a Thursday,
we gotta break it up. Okay? We got to break into coverage.
So we're going to go through here. Vikings picking 14th overall. Todd McShay has Trevor Lawrence, obviously, going number one to the Jacksonville Jaguars. And that's when things get interesting. You might think the Jets, boy, is it going to be Fields? Is it going to be Zach Wilson?
BYU kid, by the way.
The BYU kid?
We prefer to call him the BYU kid.
He's got the Jets taking, and I butcher the pronunciation of this every time. I believe it's pronounced Penei Sewell, the offensive tackle from Oregon. I don't know, to help protect Sam Darnold. I don't know. Or maybe they're going to trade out of that pick. So who knows what the Jets are thinking.
Yeah, that's a very uninspired second pick when you've got a potentially franchise-changing quarterback on the board.
I really like this pick from Miami, number 3, wide receiver Alabama, Devontae Smith. Heisman Trophy winner, Devontae Smith.
He's the real deal, I think, too. Mm-hmm.
And he might be their second-best wide receiver, too. That's the crazy thing.
Oh, yeah.
Alabama's ridiculous. Zach Wilson, the BYU kid, going number 4 to the Falcons, which is the first sort of pick, because they already have Matt Ryan, but he's getting old.
That's a good pick.
I'm not going to go through all these, but offensive lineman Rashawn Slater, Northwestern to the Bengals.
At 5 or where?
At 5, yeah. Okay. Jamar Chase, he sat out the whole season, right? Wide receiver LSU, Jamar Chase. I don't think he played this season.
Hopped it up.
Lions taking him, which means Lions wide receiver, first round, almost certainly to be a bust.
Or be great, and after about 9 years, just quit.
That could happen too. Just get sick of the franchise. Let's see here. Let's go into the teens here. Wow, no Justin Fields yet. It was interesting.
What?
Wow.
Yeah.
In fact, no Justin Fields. The Vikings pick at 14
yep.
with Justin Fields on the board still, according to Todd McShay.
Yep.
What the hell?
And they take offensive tackle from Virginia Tech, Christian Darrisaw.
I want a mock! Mock!
And then, of course, the New England Patriots at 15 right behind them swoop in and say, we'll take Justin Fields
Does
to
it
be our franchise
explain why he's got Justin Fields dropping to 15?
Let me read the Vikings write-up, and then I'll read the Fields write-up
Thank
here.
Thank you.
So McShay says about the offensive tackle from Virginia Tech, Ezra Cleveland, last year's second rounder, has helped the offensive line, but the Vikings still need a dominant tackle. They were one of 12 teams that allowed quarterback pressure on at least 30% of dropbacks. Darrisaw is a talented left tackle who has power as a pass protector, which is the key here because the Vikings are terrible at that, and can get to the second level to help block for Dalvin Cook in Minnesota's zone run schemes. Other possibilities might include pass rush aid, because the Vikings, well, I mean, they're going to get Danielle Hunter back, ideally, but or a safety, he says, at 14. If the Vikings take a safety at 14, I quit the show.
Whoa!
I quit the show.
Whoa.
Declan and Judd.
Checkmark that.
Yeah. Yep.
I had a dream about that last
your big
last
break,
night.
Declan.
Mark that down. Yeah. It is 11:26.
All tweets exposed.
Central Standard Time. No, hell no. No, it's evidence.
Wait. I'm telling you, as long as Harrison Smith is still competent and one of the better safeties in the NFL, you do not need to be spending big money or first-round picks on another safety.
I'm inclined to agree that you're probably correct, but I will say, in Zim's world, I wouldn't guarantee that you just didn't sign your own death certificate to the show.
There are certain things in football that are a luxury. A good fullback is a luxury. A second safety is a luxury.
A good running back might be considered a luxury by some.
Fix your offensive line first, so I like this pick. You wanted the Justin Fields
explanation. Yes, I'm curious about the rationale for why you would drop him that far.
McShay says, okay, it's time. And what a terrific outcome this would be for Coach Bill Belichick. Fields fell to number 15 here because we aren't doing trades in this mock. There's little chance he makes it this far down the board, especially after his 6-touchdown performance in the Sugar Bowl. But what a nice fit Fields makes in New England. And then he goes into... So, I don't know. So I guess he's saying that someone's going to probably trade up for Fields.
Are we convinced that the Jets are now going to try and bring Darnold back and make him decent? Like, is this the going theory now that the Jets wouldn't draft a quarterback, I guess?
Yeah, it says in here, the Jets' pair of late-season victories made it an even more difficult call on what to do at quarterback. Zach Wilson or Justin Fields could be in play. But moving down would be the ideal move here. So they're saying maybe they can move down and get Justin Fields or something.
Yeah, for a sports dad.
Just quickly, come on. Okay, all right. I'd like to talk very briefly here about late season victories. All right? Mitch Trubisky. Oh, did you see him when he got the job again late in the season? He's proven something. We should bring him back, right?
Oh, yeah.
Sam Darnold won a couple games. Let's bring him. Honest to God, if you assess late season victories...
Ponder, look at those last 4 games.
Yes, you're an idiot. Like, when's the last time you saw a guy that you thought might be a bust get hot late in the year, and then the team's like, we're sticking with him, our guy, Johnny Football.
Well, who is the guy...
And then Johnny Football comes back and is good.
Who is that Packers backup that threw for 6 touchdowns against the Lions? Matt Flynn.
Yes.
That was the anniversary.
Well, that guy looks great. $40 million or whatever.
Yeah, not play. But honest to God, if the New York, like, if the Darnold thing comes from a place of believing that they can make him good, that's fine. But if anybody looked at those late season games, they're idiots.
Yeah. So a couple other notable things here. Rashad Bateman, Gopher star wide receiver going 18 to the Dolphins. So the Dolphins taking two wide receivers in the first round, according to this. Trey Lance, North Dakota State, going to Washington at 19. Mac Jones going to the Indianapolis Colts at 21. So a bunch of quarterbacks off the board. And then I think that's the end of the quarterback.
If Mac Jones is there at 14, gentlemen, do you take him?
Oh my God.
I have to do my scouting report on him first before I can give you an accurate answer, and I have to talk to the people, but I'm leaning towards
which
it.
Means Google, yeah. Mac Jones.
I am like so hell-bent on getting a good young quarterback with upside that makes no money for 5 years and building the rest of the roster that like almost anyone dangling there at 14 is gonna catch my attention.
All right.
So for me, the answer is probably yes.
I want a mock!
All right. Let's do a little how to fix the Vikings action here, gentlemen. Right. But I don't think I've shouted out this Corona Ultimate Tailgate experience yet on the show here today.
You should.
And so we should probably let you guys know that our friends at Corona, they've been so happy with how much you guys have embraced on Purple Daily Corona Hard Seltzer. They said, well, listen, if you guys like Corona Hard Seltzer, let's step our game up and let's offer the ultimate tailgate experience via Corona. Sweepstakes will award, and get this, 6 winners, a Corona Game Day prize pack valued at over $3,500, including a 70-inch TV, wireless surround system, football furniture. That's right.
Football.
I'm literally looking at a picture. I should have popped it on the screen. I'm literally looking at a picture of a football helmet carved out with like a chair and a seat in the middle of it. That could be
like
in the
this.
Middle of your living room.
I would like to see this.
And there's a grill. There's a Corona cooler here. Beanbag set.
Big cooler?
It's a huge cooler.
Nice big cooler.
It's a great cooler.
I love a good cooler.
If you'd like to enter, go to gamedaywithcorona.com. Couple caveats here. You must be 21 or older. Live within a 40-mile radius of Minneapolis. So sorry to the folks who are watching from Belgium. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes subject to change. Enter by January 18th. Corona beers imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois. Relax responsibly.
Football.
Watching football on a 70-inch TV and football furniture sounds like absolute heaven.
Can you imagine? Just wife walks in. There's just 6 football chairs replacing all the other furniture.
What happened to all our nice furniture? Honey, we got football furniture.
John Elway is coming over. He's got a lot more time on his hands now. It's going to be great.
Yeah, Rick Spielman is too.
All right.
He's going to scout from the football furniture.
Speaking of Rick Spielman, here's the exercise in terms of how to fix the Vikings. I think it's important to look at the guys who influence the franchise the most, right? It's hard to fix the Vikings if we don't evaluate the biggest and most important figureheads in the organization. So Rick Spielman, Mike Zimmer, and Kirk Cousins. This is the Purple Daily audit of those three guys. Judd, we'll start with you. How would you rank those three guys based on who is the best at their job relative to their peers? So Cousins as a quarterback, Spielman as a GM, et cetera.
So I'm doing this compared to their peers.
Who is the best at their job relative to their peers? Is it Spielman as a GM, Zimmer as a coach, Cousins as a quarterback? How would you rank them?
So I'm not going to just take the exciting second half post bye week sample size of Cousins and say, well, I mean, clearly him, because I can't get past the fact that in the last 2 years, Kirk Cousins has gotten off to slow starts, and that definitely colors how I think about him, because if our mission is for the Vikings to win a Super Bowl, I don't think that you could simply say, well, 5 games in, I sucked, but then I got really good. I mean, so I'm not going to go with Cousins. Relative to their peers, I would say that it comes down to, in my opinion, Spielman and Zimmer. And you know what? Relative to his peers, and I'll probably get some pushback on this, especially from the people that love Kirk, I am going to go with Rick Spielman. And here's why. Mike Zimmer is a good head coach. I'll say it again. Mike Zimmer is a good head coach. I don't hate him. But relative to what his peers do and relative to the needs of the game now, I think that some of his... No, I don't think. I know that some of his beliefs are outdated and are disturbing to me. Being defense first at basically sacrificing your offense at times because you love your defense so much to me is a backward way to do things in this era of football. So I really believe if we're talking about relative to his peers, I know he drives us crazy at times, and I will hold against him the fact that he has never really found a quarterback, which is absolutely a key thing. But when you look at the overall job that he's done, I am going to go with Rick Spielman, which might surprise people. But if you think about it, Cousins, slow starts, and by the way, too, we can't get past the fact completely that Cousins was brought here 3 years ago to go to a Super Bowl, and in two of the 3 years, it's not all his fault. Hear me out on this, okay? But the Vikings have missed the playoffs completely. That's a problem. Zimmer, I think, is a good coach, but I also can't get past the fact that I think that his beliefs in football are probably not conducive to with where the game is now. Spielman, I think, is actually up to date. Not saying he's perfect, but I'm going to go with the GM, Rick Spielman.
What about you, Dex?
I also have Spielman as one for me. I think the body of work that he's been able to do, figuring out the draft, and I know the quarterback has been the missing piece, but he has put together a roster. He's been aggressive in free agency. I just think he's more with it with the times, like Judd just said. I mean, like, even if Kirk Cousins, we can rag on him, but at least the guy is a prolific pocket passer and he can sling the ball. I've always been very bullish on what Mike Zimmer has done over his body of work, but let's be honest, it's not really in the times of 2020. So for me, it would be Rick Spielman too. I'm with Judd.
Yeah, I actually think they're all sort of neck and neck in how they rank among their peers. None of them are bottom feeders. There's not an Adam Gase or, well, we could just use the Jets. There's not an Adam Gase or a Sam Darnold where they're just among the worst at their job. But there's also not, you know, a top three, like absolute top three GM, coach, quarterback in the mix. They're all good. They're all good with flaws at their jobs. Not bad enough to where you would just immediately have to fire him. And, you know, not guys that are just completely incompetent. But I would probably say Rick Spielman is slightly better at his job than the other two guys. And my logic there is, like, the biggest compliment I can give Rick Spielman is that he's been with the Vikings for almost 13 or 14 years or whatever it's been. And the Vikings almost always have very competitive rosters. They never have a 2-14 roster because he just completely whiffed on talent evaluation for, you know, the entire draft and free agency. He's also been able to find stars throughout the draft. Later rounds, even Stephon Diggs and Neil Hunter, first round has been a little hit or miss with some guys, but when you're putting Diggs, Hunter, Jefferson, Dalvin, Harrison Smith, Xavier Rhodes, Eric Kendricks, the list goes on. When you're putting guys like that into your 53-man roster, you're going to have good teams. And so he's hit some big home runs in the draft. The knocks, and I actually, you know what? I'm actually not going to include quarterback on the knock list because I think you can make a case. He whiffed hard on Ponder. Bridgewater, we just don't know because he blew his knee out and it's like his timeline, like his path completely shifted after the knee injury. And Cousins was an aggressive move for the best available, you know, starting quarterback on the market. I mean, the knock there would be, are you not, why are you not taking more shots to find a young quarterback in the draft, right? Yes. Like that would be the knock.
Yes,
and then Ponder's a huge knock.
Yep.
But I'm going to take quarterback off of the list, and I still think there's two or three big-time knocks on Spielman. Number one, the Vikings have had the worst pass-blocking offensive lines in the NFL, like largely you could for 7 years. Like I think maybe not the worst, but like bottom five pass-blocking offensive lines for 7 years, and you either have not addressed it enough just through neglect, or you've just been whiffing on guys like Elfline and Samia and Bradbury might be a whiff. TJ Clemmings and Willie Beavers, like these guys are, I mean, these aren't seventh round picks. Like TJ Clemmings was a fourth round pick,
Willie
right?
Beavers.
Willie Beavers, like
maybe the worst fourth round pick of all time.
Brian O'Neill was a hit, and so he deserves credit for that. But offensive line is the most important thing you can put together on a team, and they haven't in terms of pass protection. Number two, Vikings haven't drafted a star defensive player in 5 years. Declan brought that list to the show yesterday. The last star defensive player they drafted was Eric Kendricks in 2015. That's a problem.
And that's partially on Zimmer, too, because he's sure. in Rick's ear, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if we're going to give Zim credit for Hunter's development, which we do, we then have to give him the knocks for, okay, we're not expecting your draft picks to all be Danielle Hunter, but we are expecting more from the this last crop.
Yep. Yeah. And so, you know, some of it's talent evaluation. Some of it is why haven't you developed guys, you know, et cetera. And then the other knock, I would say, non-quarterback related knock on Spielman is I don't think he has a great sense of salary cap allocation to the most important positions. When you're franchising a safety for $11 million and you're paying an injury-prone running back top five money at the position and you're giving Anthony Barr $14 million a year, like, fix your offensive line. Fix your offensive line and then do these other things.
So you just, in a roundabout way, broached a topic that I would love to know more about. That's who contractually has control here. Because Childress had control of the 53-man roster, which made him the de facto GM, right? But then Rick got named GM of this team in 2012, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And he hired Mike. So my assumption is that in Rick's contract, it states that he has personnel control.
Yeah, I would assume so.
It feels like Mike dictates a lot, and he should. He's the coach. But to your point, from what you just said, Phil, there really feels like that there should be times where Rick's like, oh, no, right?
Well, this is just a pure guess, but Mike Zimmer has a ton of conviction, shall we say, right? Mike Zimmer is very opinionated. He's very grizzly. He's prickly. And so if he has a strong opinion on something,
he can remove certain letters from that.
Right. Even if he doesn't have contractual control over the 53-man roster.
Yeah.
It's possible that Rick Spielman sort of bends to Mike Zimmer's will just to say, all right, you're the head coach.
Sure.
If we're kind of on the fence, if it's a 60-40, we'll go with Anthony Barr. Okay, we'll bring him back in free agency, right?
Sure.
So I could see Mike Zimmer having influence without actually having it built into his contract. Real quick, on Mike Zimmer, I think he's a good head coach too, but I don't think he's a complete head coach. I think it's been 7 years, and I still think he identifies more as a defensive coordinator who outsources offense to someone, by the way, to someone new every year, too, for 6 years.
And then weighs in.
Right.
Run more.
And I don't think he has figured out how to be the overseer of a 53-man roster. I don't think he has really figured out how to push all the right buttons, especially with offensive players. And so I don't think he's anywhere near the league's elite coaches in that category. And he's not a great game and clock manager coach either. He's great at scheming defenses when you give him the chess pieces. On the Cousins front, he probably played the best stretch of football of his career in the second half of the season. But, you know, he lacks the mobility and improvisational skills of some of the top, top guys like Mahomes and Russell Wilson, Watson, Josh Allen now. And he doesn't have that same dagger ability as like a Tom Brady or an Aaron Rodgers where it's like Mortal Kombat, I'm just going to finish you, unless it's the Jaguars. Like he doesn't have that. So no. He's good.
Golly gee, he's a nice guy.
Yeah, like he's good, but
yes.
So I can say good and bad about all these guys, but I think Rick Spielman ultimately is probably a little bit better at his job than the other two guys.
If I was starting a team and gun to the head, you came to me and said, you have to make a 3-year commitment to one of those three, Zimmer, Spielman, or Cousins, and it has to be 3 years. I guess my answer of Spielman is driven by I would hire Rick. Like, there is no way that I would hire Mike as my coach now. And Kirk, I think Kirk is a statistically really good quarterback who goes through stretches of really good play. But I would like to think that my people could find a quarterback who is more with the times as far as the position goes. And I'm sorry, I just don't really like how Kirk is wired mentally.
How much different would your Kirk Cousins opinions be if instead of, what is he, 32? Let's say instead of being 32 years old and making this year, he's going to make 15% of the salary cap. Like he's going to make like $31 million or something.
Sure.
If instead of those things, if he was in year 2 or 3 of a rookie contract and he was the second, third round pick that Washington had, right? Like, so basically go back to, he's 25, he's in his third year in the NFL and he makes almost nothing.
So I would do exactly what Washington did. I would certainly keep Kirk through that contract. I might franchise him once. I wouldn't franchise him twice. But my thing now in having seen Kirk for 3 years is I would never pay Kirk the next step. So like Rookie contract, awesome. Let's see. Let's see. But Washington, I think, ultimately saw and came to the conclusion that probably the three of us have come to, mm-hmm. which is statistically very good, has some very good games, but overall, is he the guy that you want at a huge price tag, potentially, to lead your franchise? And my answer after 3 years of watching him be that guy with that contract is no.
Isn't it kind of funny how that works in baseball, basketball compared to football, for instance, when you get a young player in your system, and let's just say a young potential superstar player, so a quarterback or whatever, a wing player in the NBA or a starting pitcher or something in baseball. And I feel like in football, if it's a quarterback, if he's proven to be starting caliber, you just sort of lock in and you keep renewing, and they don't really ever, like Kirk Cousins tested free agency, but most guys just kind of keep on trucking along. Like,
yeah,
Matt Stafford gets drafted, and well, he's our starting quarterback, and so we'll just keep paying him the going rate of a starting quarterback in the NFL until he's 37 and he's out of the league, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like Derek Carr is kind of an example of that. Whether he's like 30 years old now and he's pretty good,
you always think,
but he makes a bunch of money,
he's going to really, really peak now.
Or you're worried that, well, he's good, and boy, if we get rid of him, you know, what could happen? Like, teams are so scared to move off of a starting quarterback because, oh, my yeah. God, what if we draft Christian Ponder? Then what happens?
Right.
And in some of these other sports, like, well, unless you're the Timberwolves or the Andrew Wiggins, but, like, you get a guy and you draft him in the first round and, all right, he's not maybe what we thought. He's fine, but we're not going to break the bank for him. If he wants to stick around for less money, that's fine. But in the right. NFL, it's like, well, you're a starting quarterback, and so we're just going to keep paying you, you know, top five money as it rotates through the cycle until you're 36 years old. And I think, you know, Philip Rivers was like that with San Diego. Tony Romo was like that with the Cowboys. Like, they're paying these guys top money. Are they delivering what they're being paid? No.
But they're not disasters.
Put your foot in the ground. But they're not disasters. So
that's
you
exactly
stick with
why
them.
They stick with them, yeah.
And that's why you don't win Super Bowls. And that's been my problem with, like, the Kirk Cousins conversation. It's not whether he's a good quarterback. He is a good quarterback. But you got to be careful paying good quarterbacks too much money relative to the cap. And so, like, if my opinion would be so much different if Kirk was a little younger, was on a rookie contract. In fact, if he was younger and on a rookie contract, I'd be like, oh my God, the Vikings can win a Super Bowl.
Oh yeah.
Like, Josh Allen has some flaws.
Yes.
But I look at Josh Allen and say, despite some of the, like, he'll get weird and throw some interceptions sometimes, but my God, he's 24, he makes no money, and they can build a roster around him.
The problem, though, is that you would continue to say, hey, there's that next step, and Kirk is going to take it in 2021. No, wait, it's going to be 22. But if you had Kirk on a rookie deal, Phil, would you at the end of that, if next year was going to be the last year of his rookie contract, would you bring him back on a big contract? Because I would not.
Back to Purple Daily in just a moment here. If you're a business owner out there, Federated Insurance has tools to help you. How helpful would it be for you to have employee training, for instance, at your fingertips? Industry resources that can help your business reach another level of success. Well, that's why Federated Mutual Insurance Company recently launched MyShield, the online client destination for risk management resources. MyShield has resources to help your business with all sorts of things, like safety training and videos, customizable risk management plans, simple risk management policies and checklists, and also workplace posters, sample safety program manuals, and all kinds more. If you're already a Federated Insurance client, well, what are you waiting for? Just get registered today so you can jump on MyShield through federatedinsurance.com or download the app. And if you're not, you can just talk to your Federated Insurance marketing representative today. At Federated, it's always our business to protect yours. Yeah, I would.
And that doesn't make him bad.
I would tend to lean toward going back to the well, drafting another rookie. Like, I would be constantly drafting quarterbacks in, like, the second round, first, second round, maybe third round. And I get that depletes some of your other positions. So you can't do it every year.
Right.
But, like, once every 5 or 6 years so that you can, and maybe you'd be moving to a worse quarterback, but your cap flexibility would allow you to just put more weapons and tools and protection around that guy.
What gets me about Kirk is there is talk right now about what Kirk can really improve on for next year. He's 32. He's in his 30s. Like, he can improve somewhat, but we talk about him like he's 24. Like, yeah. Wait till he turns the corner. There's no corner to turn. Yeah, you are who you are, which is fine.
And he's, good. He's good.
Yes. But, I mean, there's talk about, well, if Kirk, you know, Kirk is going to try and improve on X, Y, or Z.
Yeah.
Okay. How much at his age and his experience can you truly bank on that he's going to improve at this age?
He's not very much. He's kind of in that Matt Ryan category, right, where he's a pocket passer. He's not going to run a whole lot. And he's going to have to rely on protection and accuracy, and they both put up kind of similar numbers. They're 4,000-yard passers who throw like 28 to 30 touchdowns, whatever.
Right.
Matt Ryan became Matt Ryan after like 4 years when he was 27 years old. I'm looking at it right now, and he's just been the same guy for a decade throughout his 30s. He's been good. And the 1 year where I think he won the MVP, right, like 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah.
And the 1 year where he won the MVP, it was a year in which – everything around him was perfect. They had two amazing, versatile running backs. They had Julio Jones at the peak of his powers and a couple other good wide receivers, an offensive line that was great. And then their defense was, I think it was one of the better pass rushing defenses. And so when you get it right and you have all the right components around, and of course they blew a 3-touchdown lead in the Super Bowl. So Matt Ryan shows that, like, if you get it right and perfect around Kirk Cousins, you probably can take a lead in the second half of the Super Bowl and then hang on for dear life.
And then blow the whole thing.
But it's literally only happened once in Matt Ryan's career. Unless I'm missing a run. Did they go to the NFC Championship game one time?
They've been to the NFC title game one other time. They lost to San Fran, I believe.
And I would say Matt Ryan, at Matt Ryan's height then, too, was probably at least a tick, if not two, that better than Kirk could be.
Yeah, he seems to have a little bit more dagger to him, too. Yeah. He's been a fourth quarter comeback guy quite a bit in his career. Actually, so, yeah, he has a ton of fourth quarter.
So, yes, me, I go Spielman, probably Cousins, and then Zimmer.
Yeah. And again, none of them are dumpster fires. And that, actually, one more question for you guys before you wrap the episode. Is there any scenario in which you would move on from two or three of these guys? Like, I can see, like, adjusting
right
one
where
you would
when?
Like, I would say if you were, of those three, if you were to get rid of two of them, I would consider that like a borderline blow it up, right?
Yeah, it would be for sure.
So is there any scenario in the next calendar year, like the next 12 months, where you would consider blowing it up, quote unquote, and getting rid of two out of the three? I'm not talking about just getting rid of Kirk. I mean, like, fire a coach and a quarterback.
12 months.
Or fire a GM and a coach.
So in the next year, if they don't make the playoffs next year, I think the coach is gone for sure. I don't think Zim could survive that. Kirk, I'm not so sure about. And Spielman, I'm not so sure about what they would do. I would very much consider, if they didn't make the playoffs, if I were the Wilfs, I fire the coach. And I look to move on at QB. Now, that doesn't mean that the QB is gone for sure, but at some point in time, you have to pivot to the plan of what's next. But I think that would require, I think what you're talking about, Phil, would require actually not making the playoffs again. Yeah. That's the only way that I think we would assure that there would be pretty substantial changes.
I can't see a scenario in which I would just fire all three, or, you know, in the case of Cousins, get rid of, jettison, whatever, because I think that's what dumpster fire franchises do. I think you have to keep some stability when you're good. And the Vikings have been good, not great. And I can't see a scenario in which I would keep Zimmer but get rid of Spielman. I can't see a scenario in which I would keep Cousins and then get rid of, like, both the other guys. I could see scenarios in which I just get rid of Zimmer, or I get rid of Zimmer and Cousins. If you're getting rid of Spielman, I think you're getting rid of everything. I think that's like the nuke option, where you're just cleaning house altogether.
If you fire him, you've decided that you don't think that he has the ability or capability to accurately identify the next coach.
Yep. And he did accurately identify Mike Zimmer. Mike Zimmer was a good hire. The Vikings have been good and above 500. So the more we talk this out, like, Rick Spielman's not the best general manager in football, but he has proven, I think, more worthy of being around for 5 years than the other two guys at this point.
That's fair.
Okay.
That's fair.
Cool.
But I do think that the pressure is going to be really substantial going into next year.
It should be.
I think it's going to be really high, because there's no reason why they shouldn't come back next season and be really competitive. And by that, I mean, at the very least, challenge strongly for the division title.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they should be good.
Yep.
Yep. So before we wrap here, too, I know Dex and I have been getting DMs and some emails. So we are scheduling out Wednesday Write That Down sessions on Purple Daily. Write That Down has expanded from Mackie and Judd to Purple Daily. We're doing it on both shows now. So if you want to make predictions about the Minnesota Vikings or other football-related predictions, we are the only show in America that keeps track of our predictions and holds each other accountable and actually puts our reputations on the line every single week. Batting champion over here.
I got a DM from someone who said, I think you should convert it to either completion percentage and or take the whole formula and make it a QBR, which I was like, well, that could be...
Wow.
I don't know. I like the idea of it. I just don't know the...
Well, you could do completion
percentage. Could we do completion percentage and touchdowns?
So like a touchdown would be the equivalent of a home run?
Yeah, you could do that.
But then INTs, what would be INTs? Like,
there would be no INTs.
No, it's just all positivity.
Yeah, it's just completion percentage, which might be positive and might not be, and touchdowns. I like the completion percentage.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Completion percentage.
Thank you very much.
We'll do that. So hit us up. Our DMs are open. Phil Mackey, Declan Goff on Twitter. You can search us. And we will see you guys tomorrow. It sounds like Mike Sando is going to join tomorrow on Purple Daily for some reckless quarterback speculation. So that'll be fun. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.